My sister Sarah really likes mocha lattes, and when she drinks one that she really enjoys, she does this.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity Easter's on its way.
Because she knows it's mocha latte time. Coming up on this week's show, you ever wonder what that person that serves you coffee in the morning, that barista, what he or she is thinking behind the counter? Well, you'll find out this week as we sit down with AJ from The Roastery in Kansas City, and we have an all-new Mod Dog exclusive and a big, huge, gigantic, gargantuan announcement about next week's episode, all coming up next. Hello and welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV. This is my weekly podcast where I drive my motorcycle around and look for and search for the best mocha latte in the world. And give you the coffee scenes of each town as we travel around with the circus. And circus, as I always say, the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee, and also like to sit down with and talk with other people that like coffee and find out what they're all about. So, thanks for joining me this week. Great show coming up this week. I'm excited about the show. And I have to say, as I said, we're in Laredo, Texas this week. Now, Laredo, Texas, just to give you, for y'all that don't have an idea of where that's at, if you go, I'd say straight south, everybody knows where Dallas is. Usually it's kind of, Dallas is kind of the northern central part of Texas. We'll just go straight south down towards Mexico, and right before you hit the border is Laredo, Texas, and that's where we're at this week. We're actually, I'm here on the lot right now. It's night time here, so it's kind of winter. They're calling for some rain. It's been, but the weather's been pretty nice this week in the 70s and 80s. But yeah, we're here in Laredo, Texas, and Laredo is actually a border town, and right across the border is Nuevo Laredo, which means in English New Laredo, and it's been an interesting week. I rode the motorcycle around, and I think for one of the first times in Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World podcast history, this town does not have a coffee scene as such. Or I should say a coffee scene in the sense that there's coffee shops at all. There are no coffee shops. All the ones, and I spent a considerable amount of time this week riding around and calling places, and they're either like, they were either closed or closed down for business, no longer existing, or the phone numbers did not work, and rode by there personally, and the places weren't there. So if you're looking for espresso in this town, the only place you'll find it is Starbucks. The other than that, you can find coffee at let me just say there's a lot of bakeries and coffee places here in town, and which is kind of, that's kind of the, I guess, the Latin culture. When I was in Puerto Rico a little over a year ago with the show, there weren't really coffee shops as we know them here in the States, or even cafes like you would have in Europe necessarily. They were more of kind of bakery, pastry / coffee shops. And when they say coffee, it's just coffee and not espresso. And that's what you'll find here in Laredo if you ever come down here to visit. So that was pretty much most of my kind of disappointing that week, going from Wichita Falls where there was no coffee shops, and then here in there's no coffee shops here. But I did get to visit one this week, and I'm going to throw that on next week's podcast. I stopped in Austin for I needed coffee beans for my espresso machine, because I haven't been using it much this past week because I was waiting for new burrs on my grinder. My old one I had kind of destroyed in trying to get the grind tight enough. I had worn them down. So in any case, I was waiting for the new ones to come in before I tried to get back to espresso. But I needed espresso beans because I was out, some fresh ones. So I stopped in Austin there. But I'll put that coffee shop on next week's coffee scene. So that right away, I just wanted to tell you there's not going to be really any Laredo coffee scene, because there wasn't too much, just basically pastries. But there's amazing Mexican food, I have to say. Tried a couple places this week, and Laredo is a good place to get Mexican food. And as a matter of fact, Laredo is, as far as being connected to Mexico, is I think the largest or busiest, I should say, inland port in the U.S. Port between other countries. So there's a major highway that 35, I believe it is, and it comes straight up from Mexico City. You can go by Monterrey if you want, and it comes right up through Nuevo Laredo and to Laredo. And so lots of traffic there. And I was going to venture over actually to Nuevo Laredo, because I've never been to Mexico before, but I was warned against it by the local people and by people on this show that are from Mexico, you know, born and raised, and they said don't go to Nuevo Laredo, it's dangerous. And I did some research and some looking around on the internet, and sure enough, it there's a big, I guess it's a lot of drug trafficking that goes through there, and they have a problem, even to the extent of just as recently as last year when they got the new sheriff. He was assassinated within the first, 10 or 15 hours, I think, he was in office. He was assassinated by the local drug gangs, and they had to bring the military in, and even then they said that the guys, the drug gangs, are better equipped than the military is, because they have a lot of weapons off the black market. But yeah, so don't go to Nuevo Laredo. It's probably not a good idea. I talked to one gentleman who said that he's from here, and he said that there have been tourists, I assume they're American, they could have been Canadian, I don't know, that got to the border and called the relatives and said, "Hey, we're at the border, you know, we'll see you in a few hours," and they were never heard from again. So I don't know, that's kind of scary. So next week I think I'm going to go to Mexico. We're going to be in Hidalgo, which is about 3 hours southeast of here, straight down the Rio Grande River. And but I'm going to talk about next week a little bit later. But I want to get to the interview for this week, which is very exciting. We, as you remember, a few weeks back, I stopped in Kansas City on my way down to Waco, Texas, and got to sit down with Jason, the Bean Booster from the Roastery. And I also, at that same afternoon, got to sit down with AJ, who is one of their, as Jason says, one of their star baristas. And I have to say, he made a pretty banging mocha latte for me there. So he's doing really good stuff. And we got to sit down and pick his brain a little bit and kind of find out what goes through the mind of a barista, and kind of how he got started and why he does, you know, what he does. And he shares a little bit about his passion. So it's really good stuff. I hope you enjoy it. And after the interview, I'll come back and give you the big, dare I say, gargantuan announcement about next week's podcast. And you'll get an all-new Mod Dog exclusive, brand new this week. So, all right, here we go. Interview. Check it out. So I'm here with AJ at the Roastery, and he's one of their, would you say, star baristas?
Sure, I guess you could call me that.
Okay. So we're sitting here in the cafe, and it's about right before lunchtime, I guess. And this is about this busy time of day for you guys?
Not quite as busy as the morning, but yeah, people come in right after lunch on their lunch breaks and stuff. So yeah.
Very cool. So he made me earlier a smashing mocha a latte here with the beautiful latte art. It's good work. So how did you get started in becoming a barista? Like, what was your
introduction to coffee? My introduction to coffee was when I was in high school. A couple of friends were baristas, and so usually I'd go sit out at the bar and watch them make coffee, and started trying lots of different things, and they'd just whip up different stuff for me. And I started off with real sweet drinks, mochas and caramel sort of lattes and things, but I've moved to different pastures now. I still drink usually in the mornings a little bit of hot chocolate milk, but not quite a mocha. I don't put espresso in it usually, but yeah.
So what is it for you as a barista, day in and day out? Because, I mean, it's a job, of course, like anything else, but there's that I think, that layer of art to it. What is it that keeps you, interested, I guess, and for you?
The thing that usually keeps me most interested is tasting new things, like either whether it's a new coffee or even new drinks from different places, how people have new takes on old drinks and things like that. So, yeah.
Cool. Now, so you guys have two GB5s, the La Marzocco GB5. Very nice.
We're lucky. We're very lucky to have two GB5s, and so yeah, that is like very nice.
It's like in the drive a Ferrari every day, right?
Basically, yeah. I can't complain.
Now, are these the machines that you learned on, or did you start smaller?
No, I learned on a traditional. I think it was a La Marzocco. I don't remember what the model was, but it was just a basic kind of mid-90s sort of La Marzocco. It was good, but it was just kind of standard for semi-automatic machines. So,
now, how do you see, like, in today, I know, barista jams and barista competitions are really starting to come into their own. Where do you see that going in the future? I mean, from where it was, say, 5 years ago till 5 years in the future from now?
Well, I think, at least from my perspective, the one place where it hasn't moved is it has the people who are real educated and sharing knowledge are usually the people in the industry. And so usually I think the thing which I would probably say I'm passionate about is moving that even to the regular customers at a cafe, saying, hey, this is what you usually get, this usual, or trying to educate them about other options or even about the coffee which they get day in and day out, so they could talk about it the same way they talk to their friends about their wine or something like that. The passion would spread beyond those inside the industry and to those who are our customers. So. Yeah, so I think that would include even sorts of things like having jams, but inviting kind of other people to come watch, observe, and learn, doing training sessions with just customers, letting them even play on a La Marzocco or a machine or whatever. So, yeah.
Now, for those listening around the world, like that aren't familiar with, say, a barista jam or haven't even heard of a barista competition, like they didn't know it existed till 10 seconds ago when we mentioned it, can you give like just a everyday person, coffee drinker explanation for what those?
Yeah, a jam is basically just everyone gets together. Most baristas, usually it's a region or, there's based on kind of who's close to whoever, and you get together, you share knowledge, you usually bring in a couple people from outside who are either representatives for a machine company or something, so they can bring their machines along. So you can actually taste and work with the things you've been reading about in magazines and things like that, so that it helps our education, so we actually know and can have experience of what's out there as opposed to just reading online or hearing about it. A competition, I'd say, is a little bit different in that most of the people there have been baristas for a while, top of their game, and usually it's just using the kind of competition to bring out the best in what you have to offer and honing your skills through like kind of pitting yourself against another person and having people who know what coffee should taste like, the best aspects and everything, those being the ones who are saying, you did this well, you didn't do this well, these are the people who we think are the best. So that's, yeah.
It's definitely, it's kind of the, I don't know if you'd call it the Olympics of, but I mean, because you have the possibility of really going to the World Barista Championship, right?
Yeah, if you do well at a regional competition, you definitely would want to move on, go to the USBC or US Barista Championship, and then you can move on up. You can end up in Japan or wherever for the WBC. So yeah.
It's a pretty, I mean, granted, it's in the coffee community. It's a pretty high-profile competition, you know, gig.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And even at the national level and stuff gets covered by people outside of the coffee industry. Then the person who wins usually will become kind of the public face for baristas around the U.S. and even around the world sometimes. So yeah.
As far as, like, if there's someone out there listening that wants to get involved, like, to say, oh, this is a really intriguing thing, and I think it might be something I could be interested in, how would they get plugged in? I know there's a magazine, there's a guild, right?
Yeah, there's a Barista's Guild, which you could join. Usually the people who join that are working in the industry. So if you're not doing that, subscribing to magazines, there's a few different ones out there you can find online. And then usually if you have a coffee shop you like, just start asking the people there about it. Say, hey, have you guys heard about this? Do you read this magazine? And if they do, they can usually give you more resources where to go from there. And if they don't, you guys can learn together, I guess. So, yeah.
Now, what's the difference of what you guys do here at the Roastery as compared to, say, a large, you know, quote, coffee chain, you know, that is seems to be on every street corner?
Well, I'd have to say it seems to be a proliferation of chains and even semi sort of chains which are popping up everywhere. And I'd say the difference from my perspective is kind of like the passion of those making the coffee. And it's similar to if you go to lots of chain restaurants, the chef who has kind of created the entree isn't in the house. He's not the one who oversees the cooks who are making it. So the the passion is removed, and usually the people who are making it, it's just kind of a job for them. And it is for us as well, but I'd have to say there's something about it that, yeah, it's more like this is my kind of art, my creation. So I'm a lot more passionate about it than lots of people who are just kind of doing it day in, day out for a kind of corporate gig.
Now, how do you guys, like, I've noticed a lot of the coffee shops I've visited, they have trouble training people and then keeping those people on staff, you know, once they've invested all that time and, you know, training a person and giving them, you know, the learning a skill, really, an art. And how do you guys, you know, here are able to keep that level up?
Well, yeah, I'd have to say, it because of the way the industry's kind of exists, it's lots of people usually doing it when they're young in college. There's less doing it as kind of a lifelong profession, although I think that's changing, and hopefully it does. Lots of people usually move on, start opening their own stores and things, which is very cool and helps the industry grow and spread. But yeah, lots of people, it in my opinion, is just basically training day in and day out. It's you have to make sure that the people that you have there, you train them as well as you can, as early as you can, and keep it going. And if they go, then you have to say, oh, well, we'll have to do it again with someone else. But it's definitely a dedication to training and making sure that the people who are working are people who, yeah, want to be there and want to keep learning. So, yeah.
Now, what's the difference? There's some places that have what are called super automatics, and for those who listen, that's a machine that really, as the name suggests, does everything automatically, and there's really all the person does is push a button and, spits out foam milk and supposedly a shot of espresso. What's the difference between that and then what you guys do manually?
Well, in theory, those machines are supposed to do the same things that we do. They're supposed to grind the kind of espresso for a shot. They're supposed to tamp it and supposed to pull it under the same amount of pressure, all that sort of stuff. The problem is usually the machines, either the people working on them don't pay attention, make sure that they're correctly calibrated, make sure everything's going the way it should. And so the difference is that with us, every shot we pull is we're going to be looking at, is the grind right? Have I put enough coffee, enough pressure, everything like that? Each one is its own kind of unique creation, whereas there, if something starts going downhill, it's going to go downhill fast, and there's less attention paid to each aspect of the coffee. It's basically, have I gotten it done in time? Is all the ingredients that should be there? And not, are the ingredients, were they the best possible make of that either shot, or is it the best milk I could make, or whatever. So, Yeah.
It's kind of, I guess, well, like one thing I've noticed in just my own experimenting is that the weather, you know, will definitely affect, like the humidity will affect the, you know, the shot that you pull and affect, I mean, it can be the difference between like a mediocre shot to a great shot, you know, and then you have to adjust all that stuff manually. And that's what you guys do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like if, like a pressure front comes through or something, the grind will change drastically during the day. Even if it's busy and lots of customers come inside and outside of the cafe, and so the temperature changes some, that can affect it. So it is really a minute-by-minute sort of thing. And if you're constantly pulling shots, you can notice, okay, we're going this direction, I need to adjust the grind again or whatever. So, but it's less likely if you're just hitting a button for that to happen. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it's very, I don't know, uncommon, I guess. So.
Yeah, there's. I've heard some talk that, you know, people are afraid that the super autos will, you know, replace the barista. But I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Well, from what I've read, I think it's physically possible for a machine to pull great shots. Whether or not it's going to happen in my lifetime, I don't know. I hope it doesn't. But I'd have to say I've read a few reviews of machines that in theory can do it, but I've never seen one in operation. And even once the machine is in operation, you still, it seems to me, need someone who is maintaining the machine, making sure it actually is doing what they're saying it's doing. And I think that is the same sort of thing. You need somebody who's passionate about it. And if they're not, super automatic, even if it's the best machine in the world, it's not going to pull great shots. So.
Now, what is the most challenging thing for you as a barista, whether it be a drink or a customer or coffee, like out of the whole experience of being a barista, what's the most challenging thing that you face?
I'd have to say the thing I usually find that I need to improve at is my milk is usually nowhere kind of where I would. Day in, day out, it seems to vary a fair amount. And consistency, I guess, perfection is consistency. And so... so that would have to be where I would, my personal weakness would be probably, but yeah.
Now, can you explain for the people who don't know what latte art is?
Yeah, latte art is basically, if you steam the milk in a correct manner and you kind of have a real nice creamy foam, it's going to look kind of like wet paint when you're swirling it around the pitcher. And if you have that, you can usually pour either a kind of fern leaf looking thing or hearts or things on top, which is basically, once you have a little bit of foam in the cup, then it's catching the white foam or the whatever color your milk is on top of that. So then there's a contrast or a pattern on top. So it really, it's all in the wrist. It's how you're pouring the drink. And yeah, so.
Now, how long did it take you to get that? I mean, because that's obviously a skill. Like, you know, you just can't, like, wake up one day and say, I'm going to go pour over his head. Like, how long did it take you to get that?
It took me, I'd say, probably 4 months to where I could do it on most drinks. But that was a working every day sort of thing. So it's thousands of lattes. So, yeah.
How many drinks do you would you guess that you make in a day?
I'd say I probably make... maybe, I'd say 300 maybe a little bit more or less, but depending on what day it is, but yeah, I'd say, but then that includes, I'd say, included in that are Olays, things like that, kind of shots in the dark, which aren't quite the same, they don't take kind of expertise in both shots and milk and everything, they're a little bit easier, but yeah.
What drink takes the most skill out of the entire menu up on the wall?
In my mind, I'd say a macchiato takes the most skill. A macchiato or a perfect cappuccino is going to take the most because you need to both have exceptional milk and exceptional shots. And if either one is bad, then the whole drink is going to be, it's going to be tasted because there's not going to be anything to hide that. There's not going to be there's not going to be a lot, like a lot of milk, or there's not going to be a lot of sugar or anything like that. It's going to be real apparent and it's going to be real upfront that something is wrong. So, yeah.
Now, last, are you competing this year in any upcoming
competition? This year I'm not. I don't know if I will. The competition is, I don't know. It's not usually the sort of thing I go out and find, but I may compete sometime in the future. I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, if any of you are listening, you know, want to send fan mail to AJ here at the Roastery, I think you guys are on MySpace, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you go to MySpace / The Roastery, you can find us there. You can send questions. You can, if you have any questions about coffee, anything like that. Usually, the people who check that they can contact a bunch of baristas. They can contact roasters. Anything you want to know about coffee, we can probably find an answer for. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we're gonna let you get back to work here, AJ. We've taken up your break time. So, thanks for sitting down with us and coming on Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. And we wish you luck.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's been fun having or sitting down with you.
Welcome back. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. I really enjoyed my time there and sitting down with them. So I'm sitting here in the Flying Dutchman. I have a shot of actually it's a double Doppio espresso sitting here that I'm sipping, and it's quite tasty. A little darker. I think the roast is a little darker than my usual preference, but it's from that coffee place in Austin that I'll talk about next week, put on next week's podcast, but it's espresso actually, but it was pretty good. It was a pretty good pull, I have to say. It's getting better. It's not where I want it yet, but it's getting there slowly but surely. Practice makes, well, it doesn't make permanent, makes or perfect, it makes permanent. See, I already messed it up. I had a teacher once who said practice makes permanent, because you can practice the wrong thing and then you do the wrong thing very well because you practiced it. So, but in any case, yeah, back to this week. So as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be in Hidalgo, and Hidalgo is south of here, about 3 hours southeast, and I'm hoping this coming week to take a trip. It's very close to South Padre Island, which is most people know it because it's a spring break destination right there on the Gulf of Mexico. But we'll see what happens this week. I'm going to hope to get over there to South Padre and Port Isabel and try some of the coffee places. I did a search, and there seems like there's a handful of places over there. So that might be a motorcycle trip for this week. It's about an hour away from Hidalgo. And then also, I'm hoping to get across the border to, I think it's Reynosa is how you say it. If someone out there knows how to say it, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I probably messed it up, but so that's in Mexico, and I hear it's much safer than Nuevo Laredo. So I may, I don't know, maybe we'll do a podcast from Mexico. That would make this officially an international search. So that would be kind of cool. Yeah. And also, as I alluded to earlier, the big announcement that I mentioned, so maybe get a drum roll here. Okay. Next week, I have an interview with a gentleman named Winter. Now, this guy is great. I love what he's doing. He, about 10 years ago, he embarked on this project to drink coffee at every Starbucks in the entire world. And it's amazing. He's been doing this for 10 years, and you are going to get to meet him next week. And not only are you going to get to meet him, but he's also the subject of a documentary movie that is coming out in, I believe, mid-April. And we talk about that too. So, so this guy's really, not only does he love coffee, but he's on a quest, such as myself, and they're making a movie about him. So you get to meet him next week on the podcast. It's huge. I'm really excited about this, and I know you guys are going to have a good time listening to it. So yeah, good stuff. So until next week. Oh, I almost forgot the contact info. If you want to send an email and let me know how you're doing, or you know what kind of coffee you're drinking, or say, you know, if you're in a cafe and listening to this on a computer and say, you know, hey Nathan, I'm sitting here drinking my, you know, Americano, and it's tasty, or they have a fish tank with piranhas in it over in the corner, shoot me an email. It's bestmochalatte@podomatic.com. And I also have a web page for this podcast, and if you go to bestmochalatte.podomatic.com, you can go on there and see some links to, there's a couple two other circus podcasts up there, and I usually put a picture of something from the podcast that week, and you can actually leave comments on that page as well. And also, if you want to subscribe, you can do that from that page as well, or go to iTunes. You can subscribe on there, and that will get you your Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World fixed every week, weekly. Yeah, update automatically. Gotta love RSS. It's a good thing, good thing. So, yeah, and I also have a call-in number if you are, you know, feeling like you want to dial on the phone and leave a voicemail for me. That would be great. Would love to hear you. Make sure you just say your name and where you're from. The number is 206-202-5127, and that'll get you to the voicemail for the podcast. I'd love to hear from you all around the world, no matter where you're at. That'd be great. And yeah, so that wraps it up for this week. Thank you for I guess downloading this or streaming it on your computer or however the heck you're listening to it. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you came along this week and got to spend some time here on the podcast with me in the Flying Dutchman. So yeah, until next week. And Mod Dog exclusive, as I said earlier, for this week, and he calls this expectation. And well, why does he call it that? Well, you'll hear in about 30 seconds. It's pretty much self-explanatory. So until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.
Me to believe that, do you? You don't expect me to believe that, do you? Don't expect me to believe that, do you?